Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Ciara.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, nice song on the way for you, but first a message. Clem, I think what Ciara said earlier in the newspaper review about men needing more education in relation to the murder in Tullamore yesterday is unfair and a bit wide of the mark. Not all men are capable of doing that type of thing. In fact, it's a very small percentage. So I think it's very fickle and sexist to categorise all men in that way. Now, in fairness to Ciara, she didn't say that. What she said is that women have the right to be able to go where they want, when they want, how they want. That was the issue of her point. And she did say maybe that she was referring to possibly a male view that women need to be more careful when they do this, that or the other. That view I express myself, and I stick by it, that I believe that women in particular are more vulnerable to attacks than men generally are. But here's the core thing. We all need to watch out for each other. And Ciara's dead right. We should have a society where people feel safe to go where they want, when they want, how they want. But the reality, I'm afraid, that might be sort of a utopia which we'll never reach. Because the reality is we will always have threats in our greater community. Anyway, thanks for the message in regards to that, but I just want to be fair to her in what she was saying and the point she was making. KFM, I was just waiting for the loopholes in this adoption legislation. Why, oh why, can't governments just make it easier for people to access their information instead of fancy words from the minister, says Joe. And finally, for the moment, Clem, while I welcome a new bill regarding adoption, says Mary, and of course I would respect my birth parents' right to privacy, I, as an adopted person, need to know my history, and not for an unknown stranger to be able to decide what information should be released to me. Where is the transparency and fairness in adopted people having no rights in Ireland? Very disappointing. Well, the bill will make great, great progress in this whole area. The point of contention, as so eloquently articulated by Susan Lohan in our opening item this morning, and we're returning to it shortly, is her huge objection, as this listener has just pointed out as well, as having to recount her story in an information session to an unknown, anonymous, well, not maybe anonymous, but unknown social worker, just to be told, now, you need to know, your birth mother and birth father don't want to be contacted, so you can't do that. Why not? If I am responsible as a man for fathering a child, and if I as a woman am responsible for giving birth to a baby, what right have I to say that I don't ever want to have any contact with them again? Fine, if you don't want contact with them socially or from a family perspective. But that child has a full human right to be able to know the full circumstances of their birth, how it came about. Even was it a casual relationship, one-night stand, or was it out of a long-term relationship? What happened? I think I have a right to know that information if I'm adopted. And particularly, I need access to all information in regards to who were your other family members, to ask your birth parents. Who were your other family members? Did any of them have special medical conditions that I would need to know about or that my children need to know about? We'll let you make up your mind on those particular topics. We'll be talking about that in just a couple of minutes' time with Marie Ryan O'Brien. Also on the programme in the second hour, go back to the Naas Municipal District where Councillor Seamy Moore, where Nasnery, the Mayor of Naas, had quite a few motions on the agenda. The Blood Transfusion Service says we have so little blood being donated at the moment, we might have to start importing it. Back to the Clonmany Municipal District with Councillor Anisha O'Carroll. And we're previewing tonight's Kildare's Auburn Cup game against Carlow. A of which we'll have full commentary in association with Hand and Concrete from 10:30. But first, Mihal O'Bubla. Now, someone once said that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Well, Mount Vesuvius hath no fury like Kira scorned. And Kira has hightailed it into studio because she said, I want to respond to that person who's after saying that I said something about men in regards to what happened.
It's
yes,
not exactly
go
what I
on
said,
anyway.
But what I did say, I think it's great to have conversations like this, Clem, because when it comes to issues like this, obviously a horrifically sad story, we know that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to issues like that man saying that my comment about men should be educated more about this topic, I did say that and I did mean it. Because just, I am not a black person, I'm not a trans woman, I'm not a trans man. I have to educate myself to understand their plight and what they've been through. And that was my point earlier. So I'm not meaning offence to anybody, but I'm just trying to make the point that we all can learn different things because
why
we don't.
Why do you say men need more to be more
because even
educated?
When you were chatting, and it's no even offence towards you, so don't take it as one, but even when you
all
were
right,
chatting,
fire you, actually,
you mentioned.
You
oh, I'm sure.
Sorry, go on.
But just when you were speaking about, you know, you often tell your wife not to walk down the canal, and you're doing it out of love and respect and for her safety, but that's the point that women have to live with that. And,
but
and
isn't that the isn't it a reality? Because what some people would say is you're looking for a utopia. Yes, I fully agree that women should be able to go where they want, when they want, how they want. You know, the old story of she was asking for it, we hear all that kind of nonsense as well.
So,
dress how they want. But is it not just a reality that women are more vulnerable to attack than men are? And what's that got to do with men?
So my answer to that is yes. Women are more vulnerable to attacks and it's a complete reality. And yes, we'd love a utopia, you're right. But the vast majority of women who are attacked by men. And there is an issue there within society that women are more vulnerable when compared to men. Men against them. Does that make sense?
Yes, I do. And I did say that, you know, women are more vulnerable. The reality is women are more vulnerable to attack. But I don't necessarily agree that that's got anything to do with the general attitude of men. There's always random, abnormal, dysfunctional people out and about. They're as likely to attack. They can equally attack men. You know,
and I made the point during the paper review that, you know, the one-hit punch and all the rest, men do attack men all the time. But the point of this, Clem, is that women are at risk, by and large, from men when it comes to physical attacks.
Oh, yeah.
And the truth of it is, with any society, there are changes. And to move forward and to, I guess, live in a better society, not a utopia, but a better society, because we do have our realities, is to educate ourselves on these things. Just like my point, if that texter understands, I'm not a black person, I'm not a trans person, but I have to educate myself to understand their plight and their struggles in the world. And that was all I meant, is that women do live every day. And by and large, majority of women thinking when they walk out their door, do I have something to be worried about? I know if I walk around in the middle of the day, even if it's bright outside, I'm thinking about who's around me at all times, to be honest.
All right,
and that was the point I'm trying to make.
Okay, thanks for that, Kira. Point well made, I have to say. But unfortunately, the reality, and I mean, I walk the canal all the time or run the canal when I'm fit enough to run or whatever else. And so do many other people around the Thigh and indeed Robertstown and Naas, all areas where the canals run through this county, whether it's the Royal Canal, the Grand Canal. But it just, what happened to Aisling Murphy in Tullamore highlights the idea that the threat can be so random and can come at any time. And we're not trying to create, alarm or whatever else, but it's necessary for everybody to have the kind of awareness that you've just talked about, Kira. Okay, thank you for that. And now, we spoke to Susan Lohan of the Adoption Rights Alliance at the opening item of the programme this morning, and she certainly articulated some of the concerns she has about this new information and tracing legislation bill. Marie Ryan O'Brien is a founder of a group called Ahantis, which also has been advocating for adopted persons' rights for many, many years. She's also joined us on the programme previously. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
Thank you for joining us. Do you have reservations about this legislation as announced yesterday?
Can I just touch on something separate to the legislation?
Yes.
I just happened to hear the discussion that you had there with Kira around the tragedy yesterday. I'm actually from Tullamore. I live in Tullamore. I'm speaking to you from Durrell, which is where the school is that Ashley Murphy taught in. This is not, this shouldn't be a senseless act. We should all learn from this. I spent most of my day yesterday speaking about legislation that might in some way, some small way, begin to address the historical issues around the way that this country has treated women and the way that they have institutionalized women who didn't conform to what society thought that they should be. I came home yesterday and passed by the Gardaí cordoning off a section of the canal that is very well known to me, and that Ashley Murphy should have been safe walking on. She should have been safe. She should have come home yesterday, and she should have been back with her class and her family this morning. That's it.
Indeed, and just as we have you, and it was coincidental, as I say, because when we contacted you yesterday about coming on the programme, of course, none of us for a moment anticipated the tragedy that would unfold in the middle of the afternoon in Tullamore, which I know Tullamore reasonably well. It's a pure coincidence that you're from Durrell, the same area in the school where she taught first class. But the shock and concern and horror in the community, I say, must be just incomprehensible nearly this morning.
I just can't even begin to articulate it. You know, and I mean, many people have pointed out the fact that the area on which Ashleen went for a jog, it's actually called Fiona's Way, and it's dedicated to the memory of Fiona Pemender, who's another lady from Tullamore who went missing and who's never been found. These things shouldn't happen. They shouldn't happen in a clear... It was a beautiful day yesterday, absolutely beautiful day. The canal looked fabulous. This has been a walkway beside the canal that there has been a lot of resources put into. It's elevated. It's a clear, straight track, tarmac. Beautiful. Like, if you're into running, definitely, like, it was the place to go. This was a young 23-year-old girl who put her trainers on when she came home from work, went out for a run and didn't come home. It shouldn't have happened. It really shouldn't have happened. And we really need to begin to analyse why, as a society, we don't value women. We don't value women's safety. It's like highly ironic. I'm actually speaking this morning, talking about how people who are adopted should be allowed access to their own information. Why it's not necessary for them to be stigmatised and actually have to go through a mandatory information session to be told about the privacy rights of somebody else. You know, I mean, we just, as a society, we don't value women. We just don't. You know, statistically, women are more likely to be attacked, to be assaulted, to be harmed. You know, I mean, from a criminological point of view, you know, situational crime prevention, there should have been safeguards put in place to prevent this happening. They're like, you know, these things should not happen in a society, in an evolved society. And we just seem to be able to repeat the same points and same mistakes over and over again. There doesn't seem to be any joined up thinking, even from a governmental point of view, local government point of view, society point of view. We shouldn't begin to have these conversations over and over again. You know, I mean, Kira is right to in the sense that we need to educate ourselves around these. And okay, yes, you know, these things shouldn't happen, but statistically it's more likely to be men attacking women than men attacking men. And, you know, this ended in, it was an absolutely brutal assault. And, I mean, the two women who happened to come across, this assault actually transpiring, I mean, you know, it's just, we're numb. We're absolutely heartbroken. And my thoughts are obviously with Ashley Murphy's family. And I can't even begin to tell you how upsetting it was yesterday, having spent my whole day talking about this bill and where the shortcomings and the failings are in it and why it shouldn't be as it is, to come home and actually walk by the Gardaí cordoning off a section of the canal that I pass by most days, that I actually had thought earlier, you know, it might be nice to go for a walk down there, you know, just to clear my head. You know, so we need to ask ourselves, why do these things happen? Why do they keep happening? Why do we keep having the same conversation? Because God Almighty, there has to be the definition of insanity in there somewhere. We just keep repeating the same thing over and over again.
I can hear the fury, I can hear the frustration, I can hear the awful sadness in your voice. And
she is such a beautiful girl, an absolute beautiful girl. Can you imagine the children in her class coming in this morning being told that she's not there? And why? Another generation traumatised by this. Now we have to change, it has to change. Things have to change. This can't keep happening. Can you even imagine the grief that her family are going through? To have lost her is bad enough, but to have lost her in these circumstances, in this way, when it was entirely preventable? There's no sense to it at all. There really isn't. And as regards the information and tracing bill, there's no sense to certain elements of that either. There's no reason.
I'll tell you what, Marie. I think what we'll do is... I want to talk to you about this bill because you've spent many years advocating. I think in the context of what you've just said, I don't want to dilute the impact of what listeners have just heard from you in regards to the murder of Aisling Murphy, but in particular, the broader picture of the vulnerability of women, the attitudes that society have of women. If it's convenient, I would love to have you back tomorrow to speak precisely about the bill and your reservations about it, which Susan sound like many that was raised by Susan Lohan in the first hour this morning. But thank you for a coincidence, an unfortunate coincidence that we didn't realise. I was aware you were from Offaly, the Tullamore area. I didn't realise for a moment how close it was. And when you consider one of the things that has struck me hugely there, when you say that it was a lovely day,
and it was a beautiful day.
I said, wouldn't it be lovely if I went for a walk?
It was a beautiful day, and I'm sorry I'm getting upset about it.
No, don't apologise for getting upset. We're all upset.
We actually passed by it yesterday afternoon, and I'd say it was in... The way the motorway is, the motorway actually goes over this section of the canal, and you can actually see Boland's Lock as you pass on the motorway, just... over the bridge, you can see underneath you the actual walkway where this was. And I was on the way out to a school run, and I just happened to look down. I thought, Jesus, you know, it's a beautiful day. I must go for a walk later, because I had spent the whole day trying to kind of explain and articulate the issues around the bill. And, you know, I can understand why she went out, because there were tons of people out there walking yesterday. It's a beautiful area. It's elevated. It's tarmac. They've done a lot of work on it. You know, to hear that she had been attacked there and murdered. And I mean, she was murdered.
Yeah.
She was murdered. And she was murdered in a vicious, cruel way.
And do you know, the words that pop into my mind are, there but for the grace of God, whoever your God might be, could go any of us at any time. And thus my point this morning about the need for alert. Notwithstanding, you said there needs to be a complete recalibration of the way society views women. And that's in this country. And when you consider the history of the industrial schools, the mothers and baby homes, and everything else in this country.
Yeah,
and
we're looking at everything on a per issue basis. We're looking at all of these things in isolation, instead of looking at it as joined up thinking that this is a societal issue that has never changed.
All right.
We still stigmatise women. We still stigmatise, you know, people who are adopted, people who have been through women who've been through mother and baby homes. This is a societal issue that needs to be addressed. This needs to stop happening. We shouldn't keep having these conversations about young women being attacked or injured or hurt or killed. You know, this should not happen. It has to stop. Either the government actually, you know, engage and actually put safeguards in place to protect women, because society can't. And I understand that, you know, men like yourself, if it's brought up, okay, well, it's not me, I didn't do it, it wouldn't be something that I would dream of doing. But we all have to be situationally aware, not just situationally aware in an isolated basis where it's on a canal path during the daytime, but as society as a whole, we have to begin to call out this behaviour. Where we see things that are happening that are unsafe around women, we need to be the person, the brave person, that steps forward and says, stop. It has to stop. It has to stop with us, with everybody. We need to take individual responsibility for this to stop. Because it is not a safe society for us as women. It's not a safe society for our daughters. It's not a safe society for our wives.
On that note, Marie Ryan O'Brien, on to talk about adoption, but the coincidental fact of sharing the space that the late Aisling Murphy shared yesterday and the direct impact on her, the general community, not just but particularly in Tullamore, but generally throughout the country. When it was announced on our television yesterday evening, there were very few people who didn't say, "Oh my God." But as Marie has been pointing out, "Oh my God" is no longer sufficient. It needs to be addressed at all levels, legislatively, security-wise, socially-wise, society-wise, and so forth. Marie, thank you so much for that. And our sympathies indeed to Aisling's family and to the people of Tullamore, in particular the little children in our first class in Durrow School, which you live close to, as you say, who will be wondering this morning where Miss Murphy's gone and what happened, and trying to bring an understanding to little seven-year-olds. It is a true tragedy. Thank you, Marie. We'll chat with you again later. And hopefully, I want to talk more about that bill tomorrow and get your reservations as well. Thanks, you, Tim. And good morning to you. All right, lads, what can we say about that? Wow, what the power and the impact of that interview this morning in regards to the way Marie has articulated the anger and the frustration on behalf of all women, but on behalf of the late Aisling Murphy as well. Okay, how we can help society. I'll take a quick break on that, and then we're going to talk why the Irish Blood Transfusion Service might be about to have to import blood into this country because we don't have enough donors here.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
You know, working on this programme with Owen and Kira, and we put a lot of work and time into the programme. Nothing surprises me more than the surprises we get on the programme. And in particular, and we were talking about the general topic of women. Two of the most powerful interviews that we've conducted on this programme happened this morning. Susan Lohan of the Adoption Rights Alliance at 9:20. What a powerful speaker. No need for Clem to say anything. And Marie, what can I say about Marie Ryan O'Brien's view and the way she articulated on behalf of women and on behalf of Aisling Murphy over a period of 15 minutes there or thereabouts. Incredible. Those interviews will both be up online later, along with all the other interviews that happen live on the programme as well. You can catch up with them on our website, kfmradio.ie, or our Twitter account, @kfmradio, later on during the day. All right, it's time to move on then. And Stephen Cousins is National Donor Services Manager with the Irish Blood Transfusion Service. Stephen, thank you for holding on there, and apologies for the delay in bringing you on. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Clem.
Now, blood, donations, we might have to import it. Why so?
Well, it's been a very challenging period, as people can easily imagine, during all of COVID, and particularly with Omicron, it's gotten harder again. And effectively what we've seen is the donor base, if you like, that we can call on are unavailable, simply because, you know, so many either have COVID or are close contacts of people with COVID. And when they're in that position, obviously they can't come into clinics and give blood. And we've seen that across so many clinics over the last 6 or 7 weeks that it's made it harder to kind of get as much blood in as we would normally do. At the same time, the hospitals, the demand from the hospitals has stayed pretty constant. A small dip over Christmas, as you expect, but even that, compared to previous Christmases, was higher than it would have been normally. But again, we've come back in January, and if you take prior to COVID, the typical issues week to hospitals would be about 2,250 units of blood. and we did 2,400 last week, and that's been the way it has been for quite some time. So basically we're struggling to keep up with demand from the hospital, and that's over a period of time that eats into the blood supply, and that's what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, tell me a little about yourselves. You're a non-commercial operation, isn't that correct?
Oh, absolutely. We're a charitable organisation. We're part of the overall health sector, if you like. We're not actually part of HSE, so we're non-profit, and the way we actually are funded is we take blood in, and you know, we do sell that to the hospitals, but it's the price is set by the hospitals through the department, so it's obviously set in a way that we're not incentivized to make any profit whatsoever. It's all about just ensuring that we have the blood for the hospitals, but obviously that money then that we get in from selling to them is very much about running the organisation and making sure we can get all the labs and keep all the tests and that kind of stuff going. So it's very much a non-profit organisation, completely dependent on the goodwill of donors. So again, that's not something that's to be taken for granted. So in many places around the world, they can't rely on volunteer donors coming in and giving blood, and in some cases they have to pay donors to do that. So thankfully that's not a situation we find ourselves in very much, because community is a big part of our society.
I recall being in the United States actually and seeing that and being aghast at the idea, because the often the wrong sort of people turned up to donate blood, people who were desperate on the margins of society and so forth, whose blood might not be suitable. But I always thought there was something deeply inhuman about the idea of selling your blood, of getting paid to donate a blood. So the message has to go out: you need donors, and you need them now.
We do. It's very much a case of if we can get donors in over the next few weeks, we can avoid a situation where we find ourselves important. It's obviously the objective. Important is, it's pretty high up the list in terms of things that we don't want to be doing. So there's a number of interventions we try and take there, but we have been doing a lot of these interventions over quite a long period of time, but it's still that challenge. And part of it is that because the Omicron is so prevalent out there, it just makes it harder, and it impacts even the likes of our own staff. Obviously are impacted in the same way as you hear of HSE staff not being available, so we see that as well. So in some cases we've had to reduce capacity in some clinics, even though we want to get more donors in. So that's been difficult, but what we would be saying to donors, particularly existing donors who are texted when we have clinics coming up, that's very important, because they're the ones who can make a difference this week and next week. While we look at the overall picture, it's always about where are we now this week and next week, because it's 7 days is always the supply that we'll be lucky to have.
All right, Stephen Cousins, National Donor Services Manager, Irish Blood Transfusion Service. Lads and lassies, if the blood transfusion service is in your area, remember that they're desperate to get blood donations. And remember, in donating your pint of blood, are we gone metric yet, I wonder? In donating your pint of blood, you're contributing to saving somebody's life. And what more positive thing could you do on a morning when we're all mourning the death of that young woman in Tullamore? Thank you, Stephen.
Kildare Today.
Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Not surprisingly, there's been a huge reaction in terms of Marie Ryan's interview there. And just to go through some of the things quickly. KFM, yes, Ciara, the vast majority of men don't attack anybody, men or women. You're right there. I believe what Ciara is trying to articulate, says another, is that women need to modify our behaviour for fear of being attacked, and men do not have that same worry in general when out and about. It's not something they have in their head when they step out, whereas a woman is always having to be alert and to be more aware. I lived in Tullamore, says a listener, and often walked that same route that I am shuddering now as I think about this dreadful incident. R.I.P. Aisling Murphy, may she rest in peace. Well, when you hear what Marie said, that she was actually looking at the scene yesterday and saying, be lovely to go for a walk, it could have been me. Mick in Mead says, what's wrong with some people? God bless that poor girl. And I'm just going to, everybody's distraught about it, Mick. I have to paraphrase the messages because they're coming in so much at the moment. I'll just do one more at the moment. Good morning, Clem and crew. I'm so angry about the callous, cold-blooded murder of Aisling Murphy. It's not good enough to tell your wife, partner, sister, daughter, mother to keep their phone keys with them. It's up to men to step up to a human way of living. I hear it most days when I'm out running. Men leering at girls, women out keeping fit physically and mentally. It's a load of bollocks, Clem. Why did nobody help her? Where was Aisling's Good Samaritan when she was fighting for her life? That bee should have been out, should not have been out in society. Society, men in particular, need to take a long, hard look at themselves. I'll leave it at that, Clem, says John Smullen in Newbridge. And we'll come back to more of those messages. It really has got people riled. Owen.
Yeah, and just to say, Keith Walsh, he's a former radio presenter. He lives in Newbridge. He's tweeted to say, enough is enough. It's time for the men of this country to stand up. It might not be all men, but it is always men. Get together, get angry, do what you can. Talk to your friends, talk to your sons, talk to your dads. Take some action and be a true ally to the women of this country. And we'll be talking to Keith Walsh on Kildare Focus this afternoon at 2 o'clock to get it from a man's point of view, as a man who believes that, you know, men in this country should change.
Well so done, into, well done. Kildare good, Focus. Looking forward to that then. Keith is a very fine guy, touring his play around the country at the moment in regards to mental health, and certainly looking forward to hearing his views on that topic. Kildare Focus this afternoon with Kira and Owen from 2 o'clock. Owen.
Yeah, let's go to the Claymaynooth Municipal District then. Local issues. Fianna Fáil councillor on the Claymaynooth MD is Nisha O'Carroll. Nisha, good morning to you and you're very welcome to the programme. Now let's go to some of the motions that you brought forward, and first of all, you wanted the council to progress work with the NTA in upgrading the towpath along the Royal Canal from Maynooth to Leixlip, Nisha.
Yeah, so people be aware of the Greenway, the Blue Way down in the south of the county, and on the Grand Canal we have the Greenway on the Royal Canal, and it's a great amenity from Maynooth as far as Athlone at the moment, and then it'll be going on to Galway. But I suppose what I'm trying to envisage and what I'm trying to do up here in the Maynooth area, indeed for Leixlip as well and further into Dublin, is that it would act as essentially a route for commuters and cyclists. So the people, when inevitably we go back to the office, etc., will be able to cycle from, let's say, Maynooth or Kilcockery or wherever into Dublin. And essentially, the council have said that these works, they have gone out to tender. The tender has been awarded, and the works will start in the near future. And I'll just say that these works are just up as far as Confey. Obviously, we need Dublin City Council and Dublin County Council to start contributing and working on their side of the Royal Canal now, in order to make that amenity that everybody can use.
Okay, had a couple of motions in terms of roads and road safety, so we'll take the two of these together, Nisha. First of all, you wanted the council to assess the safety of the junction between Main Street, Convent Lane and the Dublin Road in Maynooth, and then also you wanted to see what progress has been made addressing the dangerous bends on the Maynooth to Kilcock Road.
Yeah, so I suppose the first one is the top of the Main Street. So that's essentially outside the girls' school on Carton Avenue, and there's a pedestrian crossing there. And to be honest, it's a bit of a blind spot to a lot of people who've been in contact with me and indeed other councillors. It doesn't seem like the best place for it. The council tried to just put this in with a town centre renewal plan that's due to happen later this year, and it won't be published at the end of the year. Now, I will admit I kicked off a bit. I wasn't happy with that, because it is such an important safety issue, and they've agreed anyway to look at it in more depth in the near future. The other motion then, or the other question rather, was in relation to the Kilcock Road and Maynooth, or the Maynooth Road, Kilcock, whichever way you want to look at it, prior to the North Kildare Club. And there's a dangerous bend here, and essentially, again, blind spots, which it's always been a really dangerous part, which would have been the old Dublin Road, or the old Galway Road rather. And the council said, look, it's up to individual landowners to look after, would say, the hedges and shrubbery on that road, and to improve blind spots, etc. And the council are in consultation with them. Again, I'm not too happy with the response here, but look, I'll try and see how I can progress it in another way.
Okay, and finally then you had a question. Now, I was in Maynooth University and in the town on Tuesday for the Sigerson Cup match between Maynooth and DCU, and I couldn't believe how built up the town has gotten since I was last there, particularly around the university and the apartments that have really just shot up. But you're still looking for a community centre in the town, Nisha.
Yeah, I said prior to I suppose speaking on this motion that I was in a good mood, and I wasn't in a good mood Friday. But not to take away from, I suppose, I was pretty sick and I was very frustrated and angry at the meeting. And it's unlike me to kind of kick off, to be honest. But I was really disappointed in the answer. I was really disappointed in terms of the lack of progress and services in the news. As you mentioned there, you know, how did the universities develop, indeed the entire town. But the services are lacking in town. You know, people look at Maynooth and look at north of the county as, you know, kind of the affluent side of the county. And there might be patches of wealth in North Kildare, and indeed the entire county. But the fact of the matter is that we're lacking in services. We're expected to take on all these new houses, etc., but the services aren't there. We don't have a community centre. We don't have the ring road. We don't have a swimming pool in the north of the county at all. If you look at expenditure in Maynooth, Leixlip, Selbridge, for example, by the council, it has been minimal over my 7.5 years in the council. I've been looking for a community centre for those 7.5 years, and nothing has progressed. Nothing has progressed in terms of the ring road properly. And that came out in frustration. And look, the council accepted the points I was making, and they said, look, we're happy to meet with councillors on the ground in Maynooth and to set up a task force and ask that a progress report of sort is put together as well. Because it's all well and good having a meeting and speaking about it, me kind of giving out, etc. But it's important that we have follow through, and I suppose that's the key point as well. And Owen, if you might just oblige me momentarily just before...
Very briefly.
I just want to pay tribute to Shane Aylward, who is moving to Carlow. He was the area engineer and did a lot of work over the years. And Sir Buggy has taken his place in the Maynooth district from Leixlip Selbridge. And then finally, just best luck to Kilcullen in the football, the Naas hurlers as well. And just one last note then, is just to the family and friends of Aisling Murphy. You were touching on it earlier on, and I think I read that tweet as well from Keith Walsh. Mm-hmm. You know, we all men in life in this country and internationally, we really do need to take a look at ourselves and speak with our friends and speak with our sons and our nephews and our fathers, etc. Whenever they make a passing comment about a woman, it needs to be called out, and it's our responsibility to do that now as well.
OK, well said. On that note, Fianna Fáil councillor for Claim Maynooth MD and indeed the Cathaoirleach of Kildare County Council, Naoise O'Carroll. Thanks for joining us, Naoise.
Carmina Magot, lads, thank you for that. Coming up in just a moment now, we'll be talking with Ger McNally, but I just want to catch up on some of the messages coming in on the topic that we discussed. Sean and Clane has sent in a message. Some of the content of your message, Sean, I can't read out because it could prejudice the judicial process in regards to this murder. But Sean just says, stop blaming all men. I'm getting tired of the constant blaming of men in the morning. Start punishing those who break the law when they first do so. Second chances after they pay for their crimes, that shouldn't be happening in regards to that. Others in the WhatsApp messages have come in to say the likes of the following. That woman, Maria Ryan O'Brien, is absolutely right in everything she's saying. She's a brilliant speaker. Something has to be done. It's out of control now. Shannon says, I don't know what happened in Tullamore. I'm translating for the moment, Shane, us from your Gaeilge, because I haven't a lot of time as to why the reason Aisling Murphy was murdered. But in regards, I'm going to leave it there a little because I want to be very careful. There is a judicial process underway. But Shannon goes on to say that he listened to the interview with Marie O'Brien or Ryan O'Brien and says, Fishin an Cochtuk. It was very powerful. Certainly, that's an understatement. Very struck by Marie's exposition of her feelings in regards to the murder and the general way that women are treated in society. Morning, Clem. I'm an older man, sickened and angry and so sad for the poor girl. And again, you make some comments there that I can't just refer to. There's nothing society can do to help evil people. It's ingrained into them. Well, all right, that's a wide topic. And finally, for the moment, Clem, random but slightly baffled. I have a friend that lost her part-time job due to COVID. They were on the pup payment, single parent. They're now trying to go back to work, but being told they will pay 40% tax on all earnings plus 40% on their single parent payment, meaning it's actually costing them money to go back to work. How does this make sense? It doesn't make sense. That's what's happening. Widespread in society. Many people finding it's more profitable now to just dwell on the government supports, but they will end in time, of course. Let's go indeed to football. Tonight we have full commentary of Kildare versus Carlow in the Auburn Cup round 2 in Dr. Cullen Park. The Kildare team was named last night. I recorded it earlier. Here we are. In goal, Tom Kinsel and Moorfield. A full back line of David Randalls, Ballyteague, Michael Joyce, Ron Towers, Ryan Houlihan and Moorfield. Half backs, David Highland, Athai, James Murray, Moorfield, Darren Malone, Alan Wood. Centre field, Kevin O'Callaghan and Kevin Flynn, both of Selbridge. Half forwards, Davey O'Neill, Ron Towers, Paul Cribben, Johnstown Bridge, Padraig Toohey, Eastown. And the full forward line of Paddy Woodgate, Raheens, Daniel Flynn, Johnstown Bridge, and Owen Lawless, Suncroft. We'll hear from Glenn Ryan in a moment, but Ger McNally, experimental is the word. Good morning.
Good morning, Clem. Yes, yeah, absolutely. A kind of similar enough lineup to the field that played Westmead on Saturday, albeit with time changes to that, but certainly the overall field of the side would still be one of experimentation. But the likes of David Highland are back in the side, I suppose he will add a bit of experience there. Daniel Flynn comes into the starting lineup, but it'll be more, I suppose, about the guys on the fringe of things again, trying to put their name forward. Tom Kinsella of Moorfield, who was experienced of very big games. Of course, he was the goalkeeper for the Leinster title win a couple of years ago in 2017. He's in goal, and then David Randalls, Michael Joyce get their first starts for a senior jersey. Owen Lawless also his first start since his one O'Byrne Cup starting appearance a few years ago as well. So Davey O'Neill as well back in an O'Byrne Cup starting lineup too. James Murray as well is another one worth to mention. Great to see him back wearing the number 6 jersey, and he's a very real contender for that number 6 jersey going forward for the coming season. But yeah, a very experimental lineup, I suppose. Similar, Carlo will have a fairly experimental lineup himself, obviously managed by Kildare man Carew. So yeah, Kildare will be looking to get a win under the belt, top their group, and hopefully get an extra game then next weekend in the World Cup semi-final.
I had forgotten actually about the fact that Niall Carew is managing Carlo, so that'll be Niall, who's formerly a Kildare selector, of course. That'll be interesting, course, on the line this evening. By the way, could we announce tonight that Ger Doyle, the Carlo PRO, has been in touch with me regarding arrangements at tonight's game in regard to that. I'll get to it in a couple of minutes' time, but first let's hear from Glenn Ryan speaking last Saturday following the win over Westmeath.
Nice to be winning every game, you know, yeah, but it is good to get to it, no doubt about it. It is good to get that win, you know, that we don't have to be constantly looking over our shoulder to see where it's going to come from. But ultimately, it's a game that we wanted to get fellas out on the field and give them a run out, and they all responded very well.
Speaking to Paddy Woodgate after the game there as well, you could see that there was a forward press. Defending seems to be something that's very, very important, and you limited Westmead to very few scores from play this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's two parts of the game. You defend and you attack, and we have to be equally as proficient and as enthusiastic to do both, you know.
And remember when you were speaking to us on KFM after your appointment, you said that you wanted to make new memories for Kildare GAA, not to maybe perhaps leave the 90s behind and focus now on what's going forward with yourself and the management team. So how have you found it over the last couple of weeks and months since you joined the setup?
Yeah, well, there's been a great response from the players, and sure, that's what you expect at this level, you know. You don't be going into a dressing room with inter-county players expecting to have to push ropes, but they've set the standard, and we've been very, very happy with trying to follow it.
That's the interview with Owen Beattie on last Saturday afternoon. So, Ger, it's all about exploring the depths of the panel. I just want to do that announcement from Ger Doyle, PRO of Carlo GAA, who reminds me of my time with CKR, by the way. And yes, great, great memories. I have many great friends in Carlo from my years down there. No doubt, Ger, you'll get around to having some friends too, hanging around Carlo and that. Ger says, in regards to the game tonight in the O'Byrne Cup, would you please use your KFM Sports News bulletins to remind people that entry to Netwatch Cullen Park is by ticket only. Tickets must be bought online through the Leinster GAA website. Okay, you can't get in tonight without a pre-bought ticket. And also, a bit of good news, by the way, on Saturday, on Sunday's Keogh Cup game at 4 o'clock in Dr. Cullen Park, entry is free to all people turning up for that. Now, don't understand why that would be free, that you can just turn up and that you must have tickets online bought tonight. But Ger, we'll have full commentary with yourself and Peter.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. It's a long time since I've decided Peter in the commentary box, so looking forward to it. He obviously has a bit of insight as well to the Carlo team too. I'm sure he's managing coach some of these younger players that are on that experimental Carlo lineup as well, so I'm sure he'll give us great insight as always.
Yeah, Peter's a former Kildare under-21 manager. He's also a former Carlo under-21 manager, so he will know those places. Lovely ground, I have to say, Netwatch Cullen Park. Ger, you'll be on air from about 7:25.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as I said, looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be an important game, important circle there to get a good win. Obviously, that's Kerry came, this looming large. They had another big win last night. So, definitely, while Kildare will be focused on tonight, they definitely have one eye on
Jack O'Connor and Kerry arriving in Newbridge, we've mentioned many, many times before over the last couple of weeks.
And just to point out to people, by the way, that's in association with Hand and Concrete Products of Robertstown. That's tonight from 7:25. We have, of course, full commentary of the Kilcullen-Leinster final on Saturday at 1 o'clock in association with Nolan Butchers, Craft Butchers, and sponsors of the Kilcullen senior team. Craft Butchers since 1886, if you don't mind. And also...
Best sausages around, I'll say, with no bias there.
Shut up, Archer. Of course you're biased. You love those sausages. And then on to Sunday, we have full commentary, of course, of Nace Hurling's Leinster final as well in association with Auxilia Management Consultants at Millennium Park in Nace. So it's a very busy time for us. But first up tonight, 7:25, join Ger and Peter McConnon for commentary of Kildare versus Carlow.